let's talk a little bit about the political ramifications of this. You ran for Congress, and you know how consultants are, and I'm sure you've run across a few in your life. This is not something they want their candidates to talk about, even though you're exposing it right in the middle of an election season.
Yes, indeed. Back in the 2002 election, XPAC ran its campaign 2002 Get Out the Questions, encouraging people to ask questions of the candidate. Charles Huffer, who had actually asked the question about UFO information of George H.W. Bush, caught up with George W. Bush and asked him about that and asked him on camera, CNN, and George said he would he'd look into that, get the information out. He actually repeated that response to Huffer shortly thereafter off camera because he ran into him a second time. Huffer then ran into him a third time. This is during this recent campaign season. I think it was down in Arkansas. And he again repeated that he would put the information out. But the point is, Charles Huffer asked President Bush on camera about this subject. We need 20, 30 more Charles Huffers. And guess what? We got 10 Democratic candidates in play right now. They're campaigning all over the place. And, of course, the president will start campaigning. There's plenty of opportunities. And last I heard, they don't arrest you if you do this. And so the point is that I'm going to tell you right now, about the 10th time a question about the UFO cover-up and the extraterrestrial phenomenon gets asked of a candidate on camera, there's going to be some action, some fur is going to fly. And this is a free country. You can ask the president or a candidate to be president anything you want. And the idea that this subject isn't worth talking about, right, is long past. Look, anybody that's is sitting there at a campaign site, understand, 90% of the public is polling at CNN and polling at Time and polling at Roper that they know the government's not telling the truth on this. So you're not going to be embarrassed. Nobody's going to ridicule you because you ask what people already know. They're not telling the truth. Now, as far as I'm concerned, people want to be president of the most powerful nation in the world who won't deal with subjects that the public knows is not being dealt with, who won't deal with the truth because it's controversial, have got to ask themselves, how do I deserve to be president of this country? And so the UFO question then becomes a symbol for all of the issues that these people are ducking while spending hundreds of millions of dollars to get elected. Look, if you can't answer the questions, I don't care how much money you got. Get out of here. Go run a business. Right? Retire to the Caribbean. But don't keep coming in front of me and saying, I want to be president, but I don't want to talk about anything controversial.
Do you buy into the idea that maybe even the presidential candidates and the president themselves really don't know that much about it?
Certainly there are people that don't know anything. The presidents know something, all of them, but a very unpleasant and dangerous trend has developed since going all the way back to Carter, wherein the Democratic presidents get less, they're told less, they're even stonewalled. That's not good. Imagine if we did our intelligence briefing that way. Okay, Democrats, we really can't tell you about Al-Qaeda. You can't handle that truth. But we'll tell the Republican presidents about that. Imagine running the intelligence community that way. Would the American people like that? No, they would be up in arms. Well, on the UFO subject, that's the way it's gotten to. Democrats don't get the truth, or they get very little, and the Republicans are getting more. That's wrong. As far as who knows what, for instance, does Dennis Kucinich know about this subject? Listen to what he says. Make up your own mind on that. Carol Moseley Braun probably doesn't know much. Wesley Clark? Interesting possibility there. George Bush, son? Absolutely. How much he knows? Well, look, nobody knows everything. You remember Independence Day, right? The great moment in Independence Day when they're talking about, boy, would it be great if we had a crash vehicle and everything and come down and everything. And I'd heard rumors that we had something like that in Area 51, but of course that's not true. And then somebody says, well, Mr. President, that's not quite correct. And then they take them to Roswell and they go down in the underground labs, right? Or Area 51, they go down in the underground labs. Well, guess the way it really is, okay? Even if a president knows there's extraterrestrials, doesn't mean that they have given him the full picture. All of this has to stop. This has to end, period, all right? Nobody should be having a guy in a military suit following him around, carrying what is called the football, which is the nuclear launch codes, ahead of the most powerful nation in the world, capable of destroying the planet Earth from pole to pole, who is not absolutely, totally briefed on the extraterrestrial presence, and more importantly, is conveying that information to the general public so they have a proper knowledge and can make informed decisions about who to elect and how a country should run in lieu of this extraterrestrial presence. Anything else is, to me, now, post-Cold War, unacceptable.
We're talking to Stephen Bassett, the ex-conference occurring in Washington, D.C., April 16th through 18th, and there's still time to get there. Stephen Bassett, let's do a little conjecture here for a minute. 5 decades of secrecy, we both kind of think it's been at least that, maybe a little more. What do you, in fact, definitely probably a little more. How much do you think we've got right? We in the UFO community, we in the UFO broadcasters, and how much of it do you think we have wrong?
Well, that's a tough question. Here's the way I answer it usually, and I feel pretty confident about this response. When the truth is known, or a significant portion of the truth is known, after all, substantial number of press conferences and probably a number of congressional hearings, which will eventually go on for a very long time, probably a full year of congressional hearings, nonstop, multi-committees, we will learn that everybody in the field, by and large, that had honest integrity intent, you know, even though we don't necessarily agree with what they said or do, because there's a lot of different people out there doing this work as they see fit, we will find that every one of them had some of it right and some of it wrong. And maybe we'll be able to identify a couple of people that had a lot more right than others, right? But a lot of that may just been luck. It's too big. It's been managed too long that even with substantial monies and investigative skills to really be able to get to the bottom of this one and say, yeah, here's the truth. Nobody's got that. Nobody can do it. We do the best we can, and that's what we're going to find. We got it wrong. That's why it's necessary for everybody in the field to maintain a certain degree of humility. It's not a situation historically and otherwise to take a very arrogant posture on this. It's bigger than presidents, bigger than the nation, bigger than any activist. It is history literally happening before us. So, yeah, we're all going to get a little right. We're going to get a little bit wrong. And can I say at this point which is which? I really can't. I can only say one thing for certain, and it's a big thing. There is an extraterrestrial presence. That is certain. Beyond that, things start to get a little hazy.
Stephen Bassett is our guest. This is Jerry Pippin. We are talking with Stephen Bassett, and we're talking about his upcoming X conference, and we're talking about the government cover-up for the last 5 decades or more. And we're talking about whether or not any of us have more details than the other. And it's a little difficult to figure some of the most incredible things in other areas. Let's get out of UFOs. But in other areas, turn out sometimes to be true, so we really can't scoff at any of these things.
Well, that's the problem you face when you manipulate history and information. All right. One of the reasons the Soviet Union collapsed is that after 75 years of manipulation of the truth and information, nobody was able to really believe anything. And when nobody really can believe anything for sure, how do you decide what to do? Where do you commit your time, your life, your resources? You can't. And so eventually you're sort of classified into a stasis. You're numb. You can't act. And, of course, then the whole thing collapses. We don't want a country where nobody's really sure of anything because nobody knows who's telling the truth and who isn't telling the truth. So there's a cathartic process needed here where we strip away a great deal of this national security state, reveal some powerful truths, and then reassemble it with a much more circumspect and appropriate degree of classification and secrecy for those things that we should have it, and get much more scrupulous about what we're going to say to the public. And, you know, as far as indiscretions and public figures and so forth, infidelity, you know, maybe a little financial breach of ethics, took a gift, maybe took a golf outing, these kinds of things. Yeah, we should care about that. We might want to punish somebody. But telling lies about major issues to the public should be met with absolute condemnation, immediate dismissal, if not simply losing the election the next time around. Because, look, you know, we're not gonna ruin this country because somebody's unfaithful to their wife. But I'll tell you, we lie about issues like extraterrestrials, and we can cause calamities, right? So we need to get the governments in the truth business and make that the number one priority, with exception of appropriate degree of classified national secrets. But appropriate degree of secrets is hardly where we're at right now.
That's exactly right, and I agree with you completely. And, you know, the skepticism level in America is very high now, and I don't blame anybody for being skeptical about anything from the things that have come out over the years.
Sure. So, I mean, somebody will say, well, look, I believe in the Loch Ness Monster. Well, there may be one, there may not be one, right? And that's all kind of fun, because there are scientists, private scientists, go over there and kind of look around, and if they found a Loch Ness Monster, it'd be kind of cool, all right? That's not the point. The point is that we're in a state right now, if the government were to hold a press conference tomorrow and say, absolutely, it's absolutely certain, there is no Loch Ness Monster, immediately 50% of the public say, well, there has to be one then, all right? That's the problem, all right? There's nothing wrong with speculation. There's nothing wrong with thinking and outside the box and considering interesting possibilities. And it's okay to be wrong about that. What is not okay is for the government to manipulate information, manipulate truth about major issues so that a cynical public loses the ability to have trust. That is not acceptable. So it's not about someone who believes something is really wild and crazy or someone who has some interesting theories. That's all part of any culture. And that's why we have education systems and people go to school and college so that they can make reasonable decisions about that and not invest maybe 10 years of their life looking for something that's probably almost certainly not there. That's not what this is about. That's part of taking responsibility for your actions. This is all about issues of life and death, issues of major transformation, being contained and manipulated by our government in very much the same way the Soviet Union manipulated a whole host of important issues in order to control their subject, their people. I think the idea was to defeat them in the Cold War, not to emulate them.
You know, I've talked about this off mic several times, and you're pretty optimistic it's going to happen in the next year or two. I find that hard to believe, but you make some good points, and you may be right at this point because you do make some good points about it, and none of us really know. But the reason I even bring this up, Stephen, is the fact that it seems to me that one of the big arguments of not telling the public was some think tank probably in Washington said, well, you're going to upset the apple cart as far as religion, you're going to upset this and that, and the public can't handle it. Well, I think the public, whether it was anybody's plan or not, over the last 50 years have become so skeptical, this actually may be refreshing.
Oh, absolutely. Only one think tank has ever put out a public report questioning whether the public could handle UFO data, and that was the Brookings Institute in the 60s. That was 40 years ago, all right? That was before the Internet, right? That was before computer games. That was the Dark Ages. And then, of course, they always bring up the 1939 War of the Worlds hoax that caused all that that hoopla. They go, well, the public can't handle it. Look, let me tell you something. You go on a radio station in a major network, and you concoct some hoax about the fact that 2,000 troops just landed from Cuba and they're killing their way across South Miami, and you make it sound like it's a real broadcast, and you'll panic plenty of people. Okay, it hasn't got anything to do with the fact it's ETs or not ETs. That was something that we don't want to do. You don't want to create, mislead the public on the air about something like that. But to say that, that means that the entire world's population is incapable of dealing with this information is nonsense. And that was 39. That was 54 years ago. No, it was more than that, 61, 64 years ago. So, look, we've grown up. The world's grown up. We have big problems to solve. We've got 6 billion people, which is 3 billion too many. We've got 30,000 kids starving to death a day. We need to stop acting like adolescents. We need to face up to the reality of overpopulation, the reality of the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, religious fanaticism, and the presence of extraterrestrials. Because that particular reality, unless the government has some awful scenario associated with it, in case I even want to know more about it, in other words, the more awful the scenario explanation could be, the more we should know, not know, all right? There's a lot of real research and real knowledge out there with respect to ET phenomena that raises a very powerful possibility. It's very positive information, that it may be transforming. It may help us deal with our issues. If there's even a modest chance of that, what choice do we have? We've got to take it, because right now the world's chaos. It's ridiculous. right? I mean, every time you fly in an airplane, you think you might die. They're talking about biological attacks in Washington, D.C. at any time. Missiles are going to shoot down planes from the ends of airports. We have religious fanaticism on the rise, and people say, oh, well, you know, we just better sit tight on all this until maybe it works out, and then we'll talk about the fact it's extraterrestrial. I'm going, we got the cart before that horse, right? If we're not alone in the universe, let's find out about that now, and then we'll decide if we want to continue to blow ourselves up, commit war, launch biological weapons, in light of the fact that, guess what, the universe is incredibly interesting. There's a lot of other civilizations out there. We're just one of them, right? But instead, we're saying, no, you can't know that. You can't handle that truth. They're going to keep that all secret until, I don't know, you do your homework and behave better. I mean, this is in loco parentis, absolutely insulting behavior on the part of governments, right? That we created a free democracy and a constitutional republic, so we could be treated that way? I don't think so.
Stephen Bassett, you've had XPAC, what, 7 years?
XPAC since 99, PRG since 96.
And you've been, the reason I bring that up as far as the amount of years, you've been around Washington for a while now, knocking around, and what is the, we have a term in broadcasting, as you well know, in reporting, newspaper reporting, called off the record. And I want to talk to you about off the record incidents when we come back here in just a moment. This is Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO File. Stephen, we'll talk about the X conference, but what about this off the record behavior? You know, I'm sure they have an official line to you, but when you get a congressman or maybe somebody, some bureaucrat in the Secret Service or whoever you're talking to, how do they behave when you're not, you know, you don't have them on the record?
Off the record is a legitimate methodology in our culture. It has a long-established protocol now. It's critical to news gathering, right? If we eliminated tomorrow off the record protocol, the public would learn less and not more about what's going on, all right? Plus, people do have lives, and those lives are important to them. And the idea that truth process can destroy lives is not a good thing. But off the record also has a role in politics, meaning, okay, I'll tell you off the record what I think, but we can't go public with that. That helps to spur dialogue. It helps to get some information going. Here's what I can tell you. I've talked to people on the Hill. I know people that have talked to people on the Hill. They know people that have talked to people on the Hill. I am not aware of anybody in any of these meetings yet that I know of since 96 that has been tossed out of a member's office, right, because they were talking about the extraterrestrial subject. I have never known anybody that's been humiliated, certainly in front of anybody, even if in a private meeting. I have been heard. Have I had anybody say to me off the record, oh, yeah, we might not believe in those things, but I can't really say that. Well, they're not that stupid. Because on the issue of extraterrestrials, off the record is not enough even, right? They know that, well, here's the dilemma. If you're telling, you know, if you were to start telling everyone that came in and that this was all nonsense, all right, you did that repeatedly, and then the government discloses, you have got a whole lot of people out there that are going to public, and they're going to paint you as a complete idiot. And so it wouldn't be a good idea to do that. So not going to do that. On the other hand, if you actually start saying something about the issue, then without disclosure, you're dragged out into this mess. And so this is how the cover-ups work. I mean, this is how you manage people. You get them all. In other words, what the government did is they created an intellectual ghetto. They put walls of ridicule around it. They tossed everybody that's interested in the subject in the ghetto. And they let everybody know outside of the ghetto that if you go there, we're tossing you in there with them, right? And inside that ghetto, yeah, you got doctors and you got Pulitzer Prize winners and astronauts and PhDs and military people and retired people. It's a pretty good group of people in there, but didn't matter what your accomplishments were, you're in the ghetto. Now you got everybody else worrying that they'll get tossed in there. So it's perfect, and they've done this for thousands of years. This is how governments have often managed their subject. Ghetto-wise, sometimes, not only intellectually ghetto-wise, but physically ghetto-wise, people and ideas. This is the 21st century. I think it's time to leave that behind, okay? Just like we need to leave behind electing people to office who belong to secret societies like Skull and Bones. We need to get rid of that. You know, you either don't belong to it, or if you did, repudiate it. But don't come to us and say, yeah, I was big into secret societies, and I want to be your president. No, we got to get away from all that. What you need to know is that there are people on the Hill that know this is true. There are people on the Hill that have listened to the subject. They know more than you might think because of the work of the activists over the last 6 years. Some of the best people have left, but there'll be others. The president clearly gets briefings. He knows. There are certain media people that know and certain that don't. So what? It isn't necessary for all of them to know. It is necessary that some know, but it is necessary that some must stand up. All right. John McCain is a stand-up guy. He needs to stand up on this issue. Howard Dean comes across as a stand-up guy. And then he better stand up on this issue. Because if you say, I stand up to the issues unless they're really tough, that doesn't work. We need people, we need journalists to say, look, I don't care. I don't care whether I get fired. I don't care whether they reduce my salary. I don't care if I go back, you know, to the Beirut desk. I know about the subject. I know stuff. I'm going to start writing about it. We need members of Congress to come out and say, look, I've talked to too many people. We probably should have hearings. I'm calling for the hearings, right, whether you like it or not. Stephen Schiff did it. Why didn't 10 people follow him, right? Well, maybe it's because about the year after he did it, he died. But the point is that Stephen Schiff had the kind of courage that these people have got to have if they want a legacy as a politician in this country. And I'll tell them right now, and I'll tell them on any other network that wants to bring me on, if the Congress of the United States does not stand up for this issue, a good deal of their best accomplishments and the legacy of every single person up there is going to turn to ash. They had better deal with this subject.
This is the main overriding principle for your X conference coming up in April.
Of course. Give them another chance to go here. And look, if any member of Congress goes to this conference and sits there for 2 days and listens to most of these speakers, they're going to know the truth. They're going to know there's a cover-up and there's an ET presence. And that's assuming their mind's open and they've got an education. They have reasonably open minds. They're not totally closed and they have an education. Therefore, that's what they'll find out.
Now, they can find out more information about the X-conference. And you made an interesting point. If you have an X, you probably do need a hyphen after it.
Anytime you have an X, you always hyphen between the that and the noun. This is now a given. You must do this. People that don't hyphen bother me. They trouble me. And I want to stamp it out. Well, obviously, not everybody's on the Internet and can go to xconference.com and find out about this thing. So I will give out an address for those of you who are netless. If you will send a request, we will send you all the registration forms and information on the conference. And the address is Paradigm Research Group. Or PRG, Paradigm Research Group, at 4938 Hampden Lane, H-A-M-P-D-E-N, 4938 Hampden Lane, number 161, Bethesda, Maryland, B-E-T-H-E-S-D-A, Bethesda, Maryland, 20814, and we'll get you the information. But the last thing I want to say, and this is really important, there are a lot of people out there who know about this issue. They know it's true. They've been supporting it for years. We need your support again. This is launching a major conference like this, first time out, very hard. We need people to know they're going to come to sign up now. We need them to book their rooms at the hotel now. We need them to register for the event now, get their money in so that we have the cash flow and we can keep everybody happy and this thing will be smooth. If you wait to the last minute, it's brutal on the production of these events. Give us your support. After that, after we have a great conference, it'll be a piece of cake from then on. But the first time out, we need immediate registrations from the people that say, oh, I'm definitely going to go there. Not to mention the fact, this is going to be a major conference. We may have 1,500 people. There's only 300 rooms. It's a wonderful hotel, only 300 rooms. And with an event like this, you've got to be at the hotel, particularly if you're out of town, or you just will not be able to cover it all. So eventually those rooms are going to be gone, plus the banquet seat is going to be gone. So sign up now, get it all out of the way. Then you only have to worry about booking a flight. You have plenty of time for that, and you'll be here for what may be one of the most important conferences of its kind.
Well, Stephen Bassett, I've enjoyed watching your career over the last 6 or 7 years, and it seems to me that you've been right on schedule for your plan that you originally talked about. You seem to be making a little headway.
Yeah, and I think that we would be even further along if the world events had not been so dramatic. They were dramatic, I accept that, but we still have to move on. The issue is not going to go away, and we can deal with the terrorism problem, and we can deal with the diplomacy issues. We can deal with everything else we're seeing in the news. And we can deal with this, and we may find out that this may help all of that.
Stephen Bassett's been our guest. We've been broadcasting from Harrah's in Laughlin, and this is Jerry Pippin, and this is the UFO Files. I'd like to thank our tape editor and production assistant, Sue Hansen. Until next hour, stay tuned.
All right.